Take your Bibles now and turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, we're going to look at verses 15 to 23, at least part of those verses. We'll read that in a minute. Seems like it's been a while since I've been up here. Alyssa and I we enjoyed our time out there in Arizona. It's a good restful time. And we're slowly getting back into the swing of things here. I wanted to mention two things. Last weekend we had our Presbytery meeting, and two things happened there. There was Jordan Fagley. We had a session brought Jordan Fagley before the Presbytery and had him be brought under care as a student for ministry, a student of theology. So he is going to RPTS right now, the Reformed Presbyterian Seminary, and so we'll continue to have him in your thoughts as God directs him. And then also, I guess it wasn't at the Presbytery meeting, but HP has officially received the paper for the call to Orlando, and so that's all official now. And so we praise God for raising him up, and they'll be moving out to Orlando at the beginning of January after the new year. So pray for them as well. Back to Ephesians. We've moved from the first major section. I spent about 5 weeks going through that first section there in chapter 1, where Paul lists some of the great spiritual blessings that are ours in Christ. And now we go to the second half of this chapter. And in the second half of the chapter, he tells the Ephesian Christians how he's praying for them. And just like the first half, this also is one long run-on sentence. And as is difficult with run-on sentences, it's hard to divide it up to figure out or to take it in bite-sized chunks. And so we're going to divide it up. We're going to take the first three verses today, and then next week, or actually in 2 weeks, we're going to look at the second half of this passage. So follow along as I read. Remember, this is God's word that gives joy to our souls and it equips us for every good work. So let's listen. For this reason, because I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. That's the word of God. Some years ago, when I was growing up out there in Arizona, there was a large group of people from our congregation who planned to make a trip to travel, to hike the Grand Canyon from rim to rim to rim. And I went with the rest of my family, minus my father and my younger sister. They stayed home. But we hiked down the south side of the Grand Canyon and then up to the north rim of the canyon. And it was a difficult hike, and it took us, and by us, I mean the slow group. I was in the slow group. I was 6 years old at the time. I don't know what my parents were thinking, really, but it took us about 12 hours to finish. And at the beginning of this journey, I really liked it. I remember enjoying it. I had a backpack on, and I was excited to go hiking. But as the hike grew on and it grew longer and longer, the tears started to come. And there were times when I wanted to be carried, and times that I didn't want to keep going, times when I wondered why in the world my parents brought me. The journey was hard. I remember one image that's still in my mind is finishing the hike in the dark, holding my mom's hand, crying, just glad that it was over, or nearly over at that time. My clearest memory, though, from this time was was that I had this backpack on, and my mom, you know, filled it with food and snacks and water and things like that. And when we stopped for our first rest on the hike, I opened it up to get a snack or whatever we were doing, get a drink of water. And on the top of all my stuff there in my pack was my favorite pack of gum, Fruit Stripes gum. My dad, although he wasn't able to come, he slipped a pack of gum into each of our packs, along with a little note saying how much he loved us and how he wished he was with us. I remember being excited about this gum, and every time we got to have a break, I got a new piece of gum, which he needed with Fruit Stripes. The journey was hard, no question. I shed a lot of tears. But that little pack of gum, no matter how insignificant it sounds now, was a motivation to me, an encouragement to me throughout the hike, something I looked forward to. Well, the Christian life is a journey. It's a long journey, and there are times on this journey that are fun and carefree, but as it grows longer, you inevitably face struggles and challenges. And there are times when we cry and we get hurt, times when we want to give up, times you may wonder, why in the world would God ever bring you on this journey in the first place? But thankfully, for this journey, our Father has packed us a backpack, filled our backpacks with the necessary snacks and surprises, because He's filled it with every spiritual blessing that we have in Christ. And this doesn't make our journey easy, but the more we chew on and meditate and think about the spiritual blessings and promises that God's given to us, the better we will know God and trust Him as our loving Father. And the more we know and trust Him, the more strength we'll have to continue on this journey, knowing He's leading us every step of the way. Many of us are at very difficult points in our lives, difficult points on this journey, and you hurt, and you ache, and you cry, and you may want to quit. And maybe the biggest question in your mind is, why in the world would God bring you on this journey in the first place? Well, the most important thing that you can do, that you have to do, that you must do on this journey, is to set your mind on knowing God better through this journey. And the more you know God, the better you'll be able to travel this road for His glory. So set your mind on knowing God better, and He will give you the strength to travel this road. So Paul's just finished up going on and on about the amazing spiritual blessings that are ours in Christ, how God chose, loved, and predestined us before the foundation of the world, how He redeemed us, adopted us, forgave us, how He promised us an unimaginable inheritance kept for us in heaven. God has lavished us with His grace, giving us every spiritual blessing in Christ. The second half of this chapter is a prayer, or actually more accurately, Paul tells us, is simply telling the Ephesian Christians how he prays for them, or what he prays for them. Paul was constantly praying for these Christians here in Ephesus, as well as Christians all over the world. And he prayed, when he prayed for them, he prayed big, big prayers. Well, this is perhaps the biggest prayer of all. I'd say this is the capstone of all his prayers. He cuts to the heart of the matter. He cuts through all the distractions of this life and of this world and of this journey. And he says that the most important thing in this life is to know God better. He says in verse 16, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. I think the NIV actually captures the thought of verse 17 better than our Pew Bibles do. Our Pew Bibles have a very literal and accurate translation, but the thought of it is this here from the NIV in verse 17. I keep asking that God may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you will know Him better. So that you will know God and know Him better. His prayer was that they would know God better. You and I, we were made to know God. To know God is the biggest thing that you can pray for yourself, the biggest thing that you can pursue. knowing God is the essence of our lives here. It's the greatest privilege that we as humans could ever have. It is the core of our being. It's at the core of our being. Knowing God is the essence of life. John 17, there in John 17, Jesus said in his prayer for all his disciples, he said, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent." Here Jesus is saying that not only do we gain eternal life when we know God through our Savior Jesus Christ, but the essence of eternal life is knowing God. Knowing God is what makes heaven heaven. Knowing God is the great delight, the great joy, the great privilege, the highest privilege we have as humans. And it's the privilege we will enjoy forever as His people. In Philippians 3, Paul wrote that above all, he wanted to know Christ and everything about Him. His single-minded goal was to know Christ. That was his great desire. That was his single purpose. Knowing God is what we were made for. It's to be our lifelong pursuit. Now, of course, Paul offered this prayer for people who already know God. He's talking to Christians. He acknowledges that he's already heard of their faith. He acknowledges that he's already heard that their faith is expressed through love. He's heard about these things. These are people who already know God, but he's praying for them. And indirectly through his prayer, he's urging them that they would know God more and more and more and more every day. That they never give up learning to know God more and more and more. There are a lot of doctors in this congregation, doctors, not so much medical doctors, but other doctors. And to become a doctor, you have to go through a doctoral program. And in order to earn your doctorate, you have to write a dissertation. And the dissertation is like the capstone of all your work. It's supposed to be this culmination of magnificent years of study and research, and it's something that you can publish that contributes to that field of knowledge or the knowledge of your field. And so from the time you begin your doctoral program to the end, your mind is really focused on this single task, learning as much as you can about this topic or your thesis. Your life is sort of rearranged around this task. Some of you know very much what I'm talking about. I've never done it, and I don't wish to, but some of you know what I'm talking about. Well, as Christians, we are given the great task of knowing God better and better and better. As Christians, this is our dissertation. This is what we work towards for the rest of our lives. Our life is to be rearranged around this task. We're to spend our entire lives learning to know God better. On this journey, your goal should not be to make life as easy as possible or as comfortable as possible, but your single-minded goal should be to know God better and better and better. Is this your desire? Is knowing God at the center of your life, or is it something you fit in here and there? Set your heart and your mind on knowing God better. Now, in order to really set our minds on this task, on knowing God better, we have to understand what we're talking about here. We have to understand what knowing God really means. What does it mean to know God better? Well, if you want to know God better, then the first step to take is that you have to first know about who God is. You have to know about God in order to know Him. If you don't know anything about God, then you can't really know Him. Here in our passage, it's clear that we can't know God unless we know about Him. Paul prays that God would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And this is a clear reference to the Holy Spirit. He is the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And the Spirit Himself reveals God to us. And so if we want to know God, we have to first know about Him. He's asking the Spirit to reveal God to us. And so we have to know about God. And indirectly, through this prayer, Paul's urging us to make it our daily goal to know more and more about God and what He's done. This is something we're called to pursue every day of our lives. So who is God? What is He like? What's His character like? What's His plan? What has He done in the past? What is He doing today? What has He promised to do in the future? What has He done for me? What has He called me to do? All these things, all these questions tell us about who God is. One of the best ways to know God more and more, or know about God more and more, is to meditate, contemplate, and chew on all the spiritual blessings that are ours in Christ. As we meditate on the blessings of God and the promises of God, it tells us who He is. We have to know about God if we want to know Him better. I'm afraid that there is within the church, broadly speaking, a contentment of being ignorant in a large part about who God is. And instead of yearning to know God better and better every day, instead of diligently studying the Bible, instead of engaging in conversation to understand God more and more, we're often content to just, you know the basics and that's all I need to know. Dr. James Boyce wrote, "Oftentimes we settle for very little knowledge about God, and we take pride in saying, 'I need no other argument, I need no other plea, I only know that Jesus died and that He died for me.'" What he's saying is that we oftentimes are content with a shallow understanding of who God is. All I need to know is that Jesus died, He died for me, and now I'm just, you know, waiting to go to heaven. Well, if you want the strength to actually hike this journey well, to have the strength to finish this journey, then you need to know God better. You need to know Him better every day. If you want to know God better, then you have to set your mind to exploring the depths of who He is and what He's done and what He calls us to do. This doesn't mean that everyone has to sign up for seminary, but what are you doing right now to know more about God? God is the most glorious, the most beautiful, the most majestic being that exists, and He's revealed Himself to us. So are you pursuing to know more about Him? Some of you here may not know God, but in some ways you're curious. Well, don't let that desire just disappear. Set your heart on knowing God, learning more and more and more about who He is. Others of you already know God. You know lots of things about God. Well, continue to learn. Continue to pursue Him. There are hundreds of thousands of volumes of works on talking about who God is, and we still haven't reached the depths or aren't able to fully comprehend who God is. So your task, you have a long ways to go. We all do. As you read the Bible, constantly be asking yourself, what does this tell me about God? How can I know God better through this? So the first step to know God, the first step to knowing God more and more is to know about Him. That's the first essential part of knowing God, to know about who He is, to know who He is. But of course, it doesn't stop there. Knowing God doesn't mean that you actually know Him any better. No, or knowing about God doesn't mean that you actually know Him any better. Not only do you need to know God, but you need to love God for who He is. That's the next step. If you want to love God, you don't just need to know about Him, but you need to love Him for who He is. The more you learn about the majesty and glory of God, the more it should drive you to love Him. That word "to know" here in our passage, it's used in the Bible in a lot of places, and it's used in the Bible in a lot more personal way than we often use it today. To know someone didn't simply mean that you know about someone, but it meant in certain contexts that you loved that person. You didn't just know about him, but you loved him. In Genesis 4, it says that Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived. That doesn't mean that he knew about her, but he had this love for her. He had an intimate relationship with her. Now, that's the same root word that we're talking about here that's used in this passage as us knowing God. It's not just a knowledge about God, but it's actually loving God. If you want to know God better, then not only do you need to continue to learn more and more about Him, but as you learn about Him, you are called to respond in love, to love Him for who He is. Again, Paul prays that God would give us His Spirit so that we would know Him better. We not only need the Spirit of God to help us understand who God is, but we need the Spirit of God to give us a heart of love for God. To love God for who He is. We are born with hearts that are in rebellion to God, hearts that hate God. And with these wicked hearts, simply learning more about God would only incite more wickedness or more hatred against God. We would only grow to hate God even more. And so we need the Spirit of God to give us a new heart so that we can love Him more and more. But at the same time, throughout the Bible, we are commanded to love God for who He is. We are commanded to not only know who He is, but to command to love Him for who He is. God is the most perfect, majestic, beautiful being that exists. And so the more you learn about Him by the power of the Holy Spirit, the more you will love Him. To know God, you must love God. There are lots of theologians who spend their lives trying to know about God. And in their studies, they find about who God is, about His character. They study the Bible as well as all these other things. They write books. They know theology. But sadly, they don't believe anything that they read. They think the Bible is this sort of fantasy novel that they read. They know about God without actually knowing God. And I can't think of a more frustrating way to waste a life than to know about someone so magnificent and glorious and beautiful and yet never actually know Him. They don't love Him. You can't know God unless you actually love God. Do you love God? Even when things don't make sense to you, will you love Him as your Creator, the one who gives you life and breath and all things, the one who saved you? To know God, you must love Him. So the first step in knowing God better and better is that we need to know about God. We need to know who He is. And the more you know about Him, the more you love Him. That's the second step. So you learn about God, you love God, and now the third step of what it means to know God is that you must trust in God. An essential part of knowing God is trusting Him more and more. We are people who want to be in control of our lives. We want to control our own destiny. We want to make sure things happen the way we want them to happen in our lives. But we aren't in control. And that becomes obvious every day of our lives. We aren't in control, but God is. And we need to plead with God to give us His Spirit so that we will trust Him more and more and more with our lives. If we want to know God, then we have to trust in God. The God that we worship is very different from all the other gods, all the other religions of the world. We worship a God who is personal, who loves us and cares for us more than we can understand. That's very different, say, from the God of Islam. Allah is an impersonal, uncaring God who does whatever He wants and doesn't really care what happens to humans as a result of what He wants. He doesn't care about the human life. Human life isn't really worth anything to Him. And that's why Islam is such a violent religion, because human life is not valuable to Allah. He doesn't actually care about us. Well, imagine trying to make yourself love a God who doesn't actually love you. What an awful thought. That's not the God that we serve. Our God is very different from that. Our God is the God of love. Our God made the human race in His image. And every single human life is valuable to Him. And He cares very much about what happens in this world and in our lives. He loves us so much that He sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, to live and to die for you and to rise again so that you would be saved from the punishment that you and I deserve for our own sin. God loves you so much that He orchestrated everything for your good. God loves you so much that He gave you every spiritual blessing in Christ. He loves you so much that everything that He does is done out of love for you. He always has your best interests in mind. He cannot do anything contrary to His love for you. This means that everything that's going on in your life, no matter how hard or painful it is actually working out not only for our good, but for the good of all His people all around. You worship a God who loves you. And you may be wrestling with some things right now. Or maybe you're wrestling with things that have happened many years ago. And you may be wrestling with bitterness against God and anger with God, because He's brought these things into your life, or maybe brought these things into the life of those you love, or maybe just brought into this world. And you demand that God explains His ways. I'll tell you right now that you may never, ever in this life understand exactly why things have happened the way that they've happened. God doesn't promise that everything is going to make sense to us in this life. But what He does promise is that He loves you through His Son, Jesus Christ. And through that love, He's making everything in your life. He's using it to work out for your good. Every painful thing that's in your life, God is using it to break our hearts. And the only reason He breaks our heart is because it's growing in the wrong direction. And so He has to break it in order to reset it so that it'll grow toward Him. God is only doing what is absolutely best for you, like a spiritual surgeon. What is best for you because He loves you. Now the question is, will you trust in that love? Will you love Him even when things don't make sense, even when this journey is hard and you don't want to go on? Will you continue to trust in His love? Isn't this really the message of the book of Job? Job traveled a hard journey. You think you're going through some hard things right now, you're on the easy trail compared to Job. And at the end of that book, God didn't explain why He did everything that He did, but He simply said, "Job, I'm God. I love you. And you can trust me. I'm God, and you can trust me." Well, God is calling out to you right now, and He simply says, "I'm God. I love you, so trust me. Trust me with all the events, with all the activities, with all the circumstances of your life. I love you, and I'm doing what is absolutely best for you." To know God better doesn't simply mean that you know about God or that you love God, but it also means that you trust that He loves you more than you can understand. To know about Him, to love Him, and to trust Him. This is what it means to know God. And this is what we're to strive for and pursue more and more every day of our lives. We are on a journey. And at times it's long and it's hard. And it's hard sometimes that, it's so hard sometimes that you may be ready to give up. It's so hard sometimes that you may just feel like cursing God and dying. And instead of knowing God better, these things have only made you more bitter, more angry about with God. Well, I tell you that the only reason you're on this journey is because God wants you to know Him better. If you want to know God better on this journey, if you want to fight against that bitterness or the confusion that's going on in your heart and in your mind that stirs inside of you, then take a break from this journey have a seat and get your backpack out and take a look at all the blessings that God has given you for this journey. All the spiritual blessings are yours. And they come from your Father. And the more you meditate on these things, the more you chew on all the spiritual blessings that are yours in Christ, all the promises that are yours in Christ, then by the power of the Holy Spirit, the more you will know God. The only way that you will grow in knowing God better is if you meditate on His promises and blessings that are yours. When I hiked the Grand Canyon, it wasn't easy. I cried a lot. I complained a lot. But I made it. And one of the things that helped me was that little pack of gum from my dad. A little insignificant thing. The journey you're on isn't easy, but God has filled your pack with something much greater than a pack of gum. He's filled it with all the nourishing promises and blessings that every child of God has through Jesus Christ. And if you want the strength to walk this road, you have to continually chew on these promises. If you forget these promises, then that bitterness and that rage will grow. That confusion, your discontentment with God will continue. But as you chew on the promises of God, it'll sink down into your soul, fill you with peace. You have to chew on the promises and the blessings of God. And as you do this, you will know God better. And He will carry you through to the end. So do you know God? Do you strive to know God better and better and better day by day? This should be your single-minded goal in life. To know God better. And God will be glorified. Amen. Let's pray. Oh God, we thank You that You have revealed Yourself to us. And You've revealed Yourself to us in so many ways. And we thank You that You have worked in our lives and in our hearts. You've given us Your Spirit to understand who You are and to love You and to trust You. Help us to come to know You better and better and better day by day. We thank You for the spiritual blessings that You've given to us on this journey. Don't let us neglect these blessings and promises, but let us chew on them all throughout our lives. And through that, that You would reassure us that You are with us on this journey, guiding our every step. Let us know You more and more every day. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.